You have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verses 1 to 21, hearing from God. 1 Samuel chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for the God that you are. I do thank you, Lord, that you speak to us in all kinds of individual ways and the ways that you know that we need to hear of you. I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, how to listen, what to do when we think you are speaking to us, and how we need to act on what you're telling us and confirm it. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last February, all the talking heads on that ABC morning show, The View, were interviewing Omarosa, who was dishing dirt on the Trump administration after they'd just canned her. And when the subject got around to Vice President Mike Pence, Omarosa said this: "Mike Pence thinks Jesus tells him to say things. That's scary." And then one of the hosts, Joy Behar, threw this on the pile: "It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's just hearing voices. That's called mental illness." Christians, the world thinks we are loony tunes for believing that God speaks to us. But you know what's even worse than that? Too many other Christians in the church today think exactly the same thing. Amen. Does God still speak to people today? And if he does, how so? And how do we know it's really him? The text we have in front of us this morning answers those questions. At this point in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the 12 tribes of Israel are settled in the promised land, after the time of the judges and before the time of the kings. And Israel is led by a high priest named Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who are serving at the tabernacle. But Eli and his sons are rotten to the core, so God's about to replace them with a new leader named Samuel. In our text today, Samuel hears God speaking to him, and calling him. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we can hear God speaking to us and calling us too if we do exactly the same things that Samuel does in this text. Our text this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 21, tells us three things that we need to do in order to hear from God when he is speaking to us. Let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to hear from God, we need to believe that God is still speaking today, just exactly like Samuel does here in this text. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2, after Samuel was born, his mother gave him to the Lord to serve Eli at the tabernacle in Shiloh, long before there was ever a temple in Jerusalem. And Eli is really old and blind as a bat and never did anything to correct his two sons, who pigged out on all the animal sacrifices and were shagging all the female servants. And because everybody and his brother in Israel back then was spiritually dead as a doornail, verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were not many visions. God wasn't saying anything. Until one day, Samuel is 12 years old, God speaks to him. Now, even though Samuel did not yet know the Lord, verse 7, he was as faithful as a Boy Scout. And at nights, he's sleeping in the tabernacle close to Eli in case Eli needs something. But one night, verses 2 through 4, just before dawn, God comes and speaks to Samuel and calls his name, Samuel. And because Samuel had never heard God's name before, he gets up and runs to Eli, thinking the old man needs his pills or lost his TV remote. And in case you're wondering why God didn't just text him, it's because a personal appearance is a lot more powerful than a text. And besides that, it's nighttime, and Samuel had his phone on sleep mode. And notice, Samuel wasn't just tripping out on clonopin. He wasn't hallucinating. He wasn't just having a dream because he got a hold of some bad Mexican food. This wasn't an inner voice inside of Samuel. It was an audible voice outside of Samuel. Samuel was really hearing from the Lord. And you know what? We can too. Amen. One of the biggest questions that folks have today, does God still speak to people? And the answer is absolutely. In the Bible, God speaks to people through angels and prophets and bright lights and burning bushes and thunderstorms and earthquakes and floods. You name it. God is very creative. Most importantly, God speaks to us today through the Bible. And the Bible is not just something that God said thousands of years ago. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it is living and active, which means the Bible is also something that God is saying right now. But the problem is, too many Christians today think that God only speaks to people when they read the Bible and no other way else. Well, Kevin, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, in former times, God spoke through prophets and in various ways. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. Yes, absolutely. Jesus is the final fulfillment of everything that God said. But that verse does not say that Jesus can't speak in different kinds of ways, because the Bible says He can. Prophecy, dreams, tongues. You say, but Kevin, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 says, those things will cease. Yes, but when are those things going to cease? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says, when we see face to face. In other words, when we are in heaven seeing God face to face. God won't need to use any of those things to communicate with us anymore. But people, we're not there yet, are we? So in the meantime, God speaks to us in all kinds of ways, just exactly like the Bible says. God speaks through nature. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Tells us that God uses nature to tell people about His power and His majesty. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. God speaks through circumstances. If you are in Hawaii and you have a 6-foot-high wall of molten lava headed straight toward your house, believe me, God is speaking to you and telling you to get out. For years now, thousands and thousands of Muslims have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ because Jesus appeared to them in dreams and visions and shared the gospel. Folks, God is more than willing to speak to people. The only question is, can He find anybody who wants to listen to Him? Sue and I have people come to us for counseling sessions. One of the first questions we ask them, what is God telling you about this? And they look at us like we got a third eye. No concept that God speaks. And if you do want to hear God when he speaks, you got to turn down the volume of the world in your ear. But how many people are willing to do that? Last April the 14th, 29-year-old Katie Holly from Melbourne, Florida, woke up in the morning dizzy with something stuck in her ear, and she couldn't hear. And when she swabbed it with a Q-tip, she got some bug legs out. During the night, a 1.5-inch cockroach had crawled inside her ear and was digging in. And for the next 9 days, she had to go back and forth to the emergency room, I don't know how many times, to get all the pieces pulled out so she could hear like she's supposed to. But people, let me ask you this morning, what ugly, nasty, worldly thing has crawled up inside your ear and is keeping you from hearing God like you're supposed to? Folks, if you don't believe that God still speaks to people today, then explain that. Last March the 18th, near Spanish Fork, Utah, 25-year-old Jennifer Grossbeck was driving back to her home in Springville, and her 18-month-old baby girl, Lily, strapped in the baby seat, was in the back. But about 10:30 that night, Jennifer Grossbeck fell asleep, and her red Dodge Journey hit a cement railing on a bridge, flipped over, and landed upside down in the Spanish Fork River. And because of the bridge railings, no other drivers that night on that bridge could see that vehicle down in the water. Until 12:30 the next afternoon, 14 hours later, when a fisherman saw the wreck and called police. Two squad cars showed up, four policemen got out, they raced down the riverbank, but because they couldn't see anybody inside the car from where they were, they just assumed the car was abandoned, they were just going to call to have it towed. But then all of a sudden, nobody else around, they heard, all four of them heard, this voice coming from inside the car. Help us, help us, we're in here, we're in here. Nobody else was around. And the voice was over and over again, help us, we're in here, we're in here. So finally the policeman said, okay, we're coming, we're going to come and get you out. And that voice made him push even harder. So all four of those policemen waded in that river up to their waist. They started rocking that car and floating it over toward the riverbank, and they were absolutely shocked by what they saw inside. Jennifer Grossbeck had been killed on impact when that car hit upside down in the riverbed. But her 18-month-old baby girl, Lily, was still strapped in the car seat, hanging upside down, her head less than 4 inches above the water, unconscious but still alive. So they got her out of there, rushed her to Children's Hospital in Salt Lake City. The girl survived. Today she's none the worse for wear. But the question is, where did that voice come from? Nobody else was around. Mom had been dead for 14 hours, and even if that little girl could have yelled like that, which she couldn't have, she was unconscious. One of the officers, Jared Warner, said this, "There's absolutely no natural explanation for that voice. None of us four are what you would call even remotely religious people, but if there is a God, that had to be God. That had to be God speaking to us so we could save that baby's life." People, don't tell me that God can't still speak to people today, because the words God and can't don't even belong in the same sentence. Amen. The first thing we need to do in order to hear from God, we need to believe that God is still speaking. We go on in this text, we see a second thing we need to do in order to hear from God. We not only need to believe that God is still speaking, we also have to check out what God is saying. Because I know what every one of us is thinking right now. Kevin, you tell people that God speaks to them, everybody's going to go all Harold Camping and start claiming all kinds of crazy things. I know that. See the cartoon? I had a weird dream last night. It seemed that a voice was telling me to go toward the light. I figured my life was over and I was being called home, so I went toward the light, and then I woke up standing in front of the open fridge. See what happens when you're wrong about God speaking to you? Way back in October of 2016, TV evangelist TB Joshua from Nigeria posted on Facebook that God told him Hillary Clinton was going to be elected president of the United States. Well, the day after Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, what do you know? TB Joshua pulled that post. Whoops. And why does that matter? Because Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 3, God gets royally ticked off when people claim that he said something that he didn't really say. God, because God absolutely does not lie. Folks, that's why we've got to be incredibly careful. When we believe that God is speaking to us and telling us something, we've got to check it out. And the Bible gives us all kinds of tests for doing that. Number one, most important, what does the Bible say? If what God is saying to you contradicts in any way, shape, or form what God says in the Bible, that's not God saying it. Period. End of sentence. End of discussion. Last October the 17th, 46-year-old Marlon Hambrick, New Orleans, Louisiana, told police that God told him to suffocate his 18-month-old daughter so that he would be executed, resurrected, and then glorified to the world. Obviously not. I've gotten emails from women telling me they heard from God that I was supposed to divorce my wife, Sue, so I could marry them. No. Anything that leads you to sin is not, obviously is not, coming from God. Too many times, God told me to do this really means I want to do this, and I'm just hoping it's God's idea. You got to spend more time focusing on what God says inside the Bible than what God might be saying outside the Bible. And when we do that, we start thinking like God does. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're better able to figure out what is God's will for our life and all those things he's calling us to do. You saturate your mind with the Word of God. And you stay close to Jesus. After 25 years of marriage, I know what Sue sounds like. After years of you walking with Jesus, you know what Jesus sounds like. Amen. Jesus said, John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep know my voice, and they will not follow anybody else. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, you test the spirits because many false prophets have come out into the world. You test the spirit of what you believe that God has said to you to see if God's really behind it. Last March, Nicholas Cruz, the shooter at that Parkland school, said it was demonic voices that told him to kill 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School last Valentine's Day. Why do we test the spirits? Because obviously God's voice is not the only one out there today that's trying to get our attention, is it? When Samuel didn't understand God's voice, what did he do? He went to Eli to check it out. And what's the message for us? We believe God is telling us something, we check it out by talking it over with older, more spiritually mature believers. And you always pray about it because 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, everything is sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. How do you know if God's telling you to make a major change or a major move, a different job, a different career? Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. First of all, God will make you very, very restless with where you are and what you're doing right now. Then God will start opening doors to something new and something different. To the point, you will not have any peace until you start doing that something new and something different. The peace of God tells you you're in the will of God. I could go on and on, but I've got to stop and say this. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You do not believe that God speaks to people today. You don't believe that healing and miracles are for today. You don't believe in tongues. You don't believe in prophecy. You don't believe in spiritual gifts. You don't believe in spiritual warfare. Listen to me. You keep going, you're not going to have anything left. Christianity is a supernatural faith. Amen. Remember? I speak all over Kingdom Come. You know how many people I meet? Their Christian friends, their church, their Bible college, their seminary has told them they were crazy because they believe that God spoke to them. You talk about quenching the spirit. Just because God doesn't speak to you that way, that means God doesn't speak to anybody that way. Talk about putting God in a box. Talk about creating God in your own image. God deals with absolutely everybody exactly the same way when it comes to salvation, but not with communication. And you say, but Kevin, it's wrong to say that God tells people things outside the Bible. No. I'm talking about those things that God promises in the Bible that He will tell us. Eli and Samuel had the Bible. It was called the Law of Moses. So when God called Samuel, Eli was supposed to tell him, "Nah, Samuel, that wasn't God speaking to you, because God only speaks to you when you read the words of the law. So just go back to bed and forget about it." No. But Kevin, we don't ever need any direct communication from God. We don't. Okay, you tell me, where does it say in the Bible, chapter and verse, the specific name of the company that you're supposed to work for? Where does it say in the Bible the specific name of the school that you're supposed to go to? Where in the Bible does it say the specific name of the person that God wants you to marry? Is that in Isaiah chapter 9? Or Philippians chapter 4? Revelation chapter 16? Oh, it's not there? Then how does God tell us to do those very important personal things that He cares about so much? I'll tell you how. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. You will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." The voice of the Lord. I'm not talking about hearing things that change the sovereignty of God or the deity of Christ or the salvation plan, people. I'm talking about those godly nudges. Those checks in your spirit. That still small voice that the Bible talks about. Those holy whispers that God uses to direct us in the way we should go. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. The children of God are led by the Spirit of God. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to us some way, somehow, and tell us what to do. How do you live? How do you live your Christian life if you don't believe that God speaks to you at those most critical moments? Every major decision I have ever made in my Christian life has been the result of God telling me exactly what I was supposed to do. About a year after I got saved, I was sitting in my home church, Faith Lutheran Church, Watseka, Illinois, July 1985. And God spoke to me during that service and He said, "Kevin, you're not doing anything for me." "Well, what do you want me to do?" Well, less than 2 months later, I was teaching an 8th grade Sunday school class. I was part of a jail ministry team, and I was helping Sue with the college-age Bible study. In 1988, right after Sue and I first started dating, I was driving to do jail ministry on a Sunday afternoon, went past her parents' house. Sue was there that day mowing grass for them on a riding lawnmower, and God spoke to me, and He said, "That's the woman you're going to marry." Okay, I'll quit looking and focus on her. In 1989, at a basketball game, a friend from high school told me about Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, a seminary up in Deerfield. And I prayed about it, and God said, "Go." So I did. January 31st, 1994, I had to make a decision about whether or not to come up here and be pastor of Fox River Church. And the call committee called me that day and wanted my final answer. I still had no idea what to tell them. Until that moment, God spoke to me and He said, "Don't miss out." So I said yes, and here I am. In 1998, Sue and I had an opportunity to leave Fox River and go to a really big church in another state. And God spoke to me at that time and He said, "Stay where you are because I'm going to bless Fox River." So I did, and He did. I could go on and on and on. And how many realize not everything God tells you is something good? Amen. 1996, my dad started losing his short-term memory. We took him to all kinds of doctors, all kinds of specialists. They told us it could be anything from Alzheimer's to a thyroid problem to a vitamin deficiency and every single thing in between. But one night, April 1997, the night before my dad was going to have a biopsy done up at Mercy Center in Aurora, I was praying back at the old church around that old semicircle altar railing. I said, "God, what about this?" God spoke to me and He said, "It's a tumor and it's bad." And even though all kind of Christians, even Christians from this church, gave me so-called words of knowledge that my dad was going to be healed, the very next day, the neurologist at Mercy Center showed me the MRI. Inoperable, grade 4 astrocytoma, a really bad brain tumor, just exactly like God said. And my dad died 17 months later. Now, God used that brain tumor to bring my dad to Christ, so praise God for it. But God was still batting 1,000. August of 2005, a neo-Nazi named Stephen Arbery murdered his wife and buried her body a half a mile from where Sue and I live in the parsonage.
and the cops chased him into our front yard. He pulled a handgun on me and said, give me your car. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to kill your wife either. And at that moment, God told me, just give him your car. Everything is going to be taken care of. And I did. And it was. He stole our car at gunpoint, but later on that night committed suicide by cop. 4 days later, we got our car back, and Sue and I were not hurt at all. Everything was taken care of like God said. Folks, every single thing God ever told me, every single time, has always come true. Just exactly like God said. And why? Because it was God who was telling me that and speaking those things to me. And I know that there's people listening to this sermon right now, right here in this room. You say, well, Kevin, God doesn't speak to me like that. Who do you think you are? Prince Harry? No. There's absolutely nothing special about me. God speaks to every single one of us Christians. He just does it in different ways to different people. Maybe I'm so dense, God knows I need to be hit upside of the head with it in order to understand it. Psalm chapter 85, verse 8, I will listen to what the Lord will say. Whatever God says, however He says it, we need to listen to it and check it out. The second thing we need to do in order to hear from God, we got to check out what God is saying. Third thing in this text. Third thing we need to do in order to hear from God. We not only need to believe that God is speaking, we not only need to check out what God is saying, but third, we need to respond to it and act on it to confirm that it's true. And that's exactly what Samuel does here in the story. And I know there's somebody hearing me right now thinking, well, Kevin, I don't have to respond to anything because God isn't telling me anything. Why doesn't God speak to me now? Well, could be a lot of reasons. God doesn't always give you the entire plan for your life all at once. Usually, God just reveals it to you piece by piece. Damascus roads don't happen very often. Sometimes God waits a long time in between those nudges to mold you and shape you and build up your faith. Because even if God does speak to you, it still takes a lot of faith to do what He says. So if God hasn't spoken to you for a while, you just keep doing the last thing that God told you to do. Maybe God's given you the silent treatment and not telling you anything because He knows you wouldn't do what He told you anyway. Are you willing to act on it? Samuel was. Three times, Samuel goes to Eli, thinking Eli had called him. And Eli finally figures out this was God who was calling Samuel. So he tells Samuel how to respond to him the next time God calls. And to make sure that Samuel gets it, the fourth time, verse 10, God comes and stands there in the tabernacle. So Samuel didn't just hear something from God, he also saw something of God. And like Eli taught him, Samuel says, here I am. That's one word in Hebrew, and it simply means this. I heard you, and I am awaiting your instructions. And speak, for your servant is listening. I'll do whatever you tell me, even though it wasn't pleasant. Back in chapter 2, verses 27 to 36, a prophet had come to Eli and told him that God was going to lower the boom on him and his family. His sons Hophni and Phinehas would both die on the same day. Eli's family line would be toast, and God would raise up a faithful prophet to replace them. So what God tells Samuel here in chapter 3, verses 11 to 14, is just a confirmation of that earlier prophecy. And Samuel is supposed to tell that to Eli. And notice verses 15 to 18, that little guy doesn't want to do it. He sits on that message until the very next morning, shaking in his boots. And notice this time, he doesn't go to Eli. Eli has to call him. But eventually, finally, Samuel spills his guts and tells it. So Samuel didn't just hear what God said. He did what God said. He acted on it. And how many of y'all realize every time you act on what God tells you to do, He always, always, always confirms it to be true. Always. He did that for Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 4, very next chapter. Hophni and Phinehas take the Ark of the Covenant into battle with the Philistines. But because of their sin and their unrepentant heart, God doesn't fight for Israel. And the Israelites are dead meat. The Philistines capture the Ark. Hophni and Phinehas are both killed. And when Eli gets the message about it, he has a grabber, falls over backwards, breaks his neck, and he dies too. just like God said would happen. And verses 19 to 21, God raised up Samuel to be that faithful prophet to replace them. The entire nation of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognizes that Samuel's the prophet and the new leader, and it was Samuel who got the nation of Israel ready to have a king. God gives a word, He always, 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 always confirms it. Amen. When we act on it. Sitting at his kitchen table back in 1956, Martin Luther King Jr. was thinking about all the danger he was going to put himself and his entire family in if he agreed to lead that African-American boycott against that segregated bus line in Montgomery, Alabama. But as Martin Luther King wrote in his book, at that moment, while he was worrying his head off for the first and only time his entire life, he heard the audible voice of God speaking to him, saying this, "Do it, because I'll be with you through it all." And Martin Luther King acted on that, and the civil rights movement was born. People, how many blessings? How many blessings are we and all kinds of people around us going to miss out on if we don't do and act on what God is telling us to do? And sometimes it literally is a matter of life and death. One of the victims of that Parkland school shooting last Valentine's Day was a girl named Maddie Wallifer. Multiple gunshot wounds, gaping holes in her chest and her stomach. She was so gray and had lost so much blood. When the EMTs got there, they thought she was already dead until they slapped her head and she gasped. So they handed her off to a first responder, Lieutenant Lazarus Ojeda, 3rd Rescue Squad, Coral Springs Police Department. And they told her the girl was 15 years old, which meant by law there, she had to be taken to a children's hospital, which meant Broward County Medical Center, 30 miles away. So with Lieutenant Ojeda's fingers literally stuck in the wounds in that girl's chest and her stomach, they took off. 2 minutes later, God spoke to Lieutenant Ojeda and said, "That girl is not 15 years old. She's not 15. Well, Lieutenant Ojeda didn't know Maddie Wellerford from Adam and Eve. But even though that girl was totally unconscious, totally unresponsive, he started tapping her arm and he was asking her, "How old are you?" And even though that girl had not had one moment of lucidity since the moment she was shot, all of a sudden, for one micron of a nanosecond, she woke up, looked that man in the eye and said, "I'm 17. And then she went back to being dead in the world. But because she was 17 years old, she didn't have to be taken to a children's hospital 30 miles away. She could be taken to Broward County North, only 10 miles away. So they rushed her there, got her in the emergency room, saved her life, and today Maddie Wellerford is well on the mend. All the doctors said, that girl would have never lived to get to that other hospital. What God told Lieutenant Lazarus Ojeda was confirmed by that girl, proven to be true, and it saved that girl's life. This is what Lieutenant Lazarus Ojeda said. "I am beyond words. I just thank God that he told me to check her age so we could save her life. Thank God for allowing me to be an instrument in this miracle." God gives you a word. He always, always confirms it. Amen. But sometimes that confirmation comes later. The picture you see on the screen, upper right, 15-year-old Riley Garcia from Crosby, Texas. Last year, a freshman at Santa Fe High School. He loved everything outdoors, hunting, fishing, four-wheeling, water skiing. He's on the high school football team, member of the junior ROTC program, wanted to go to the Army someday. But most importantly, Riley Garcia was a born-again Christian who really loved the Lord and went to the Crosby Church there in his hometown. But last May the 18th, 1 week before school break started, 17-year-old Dimitri Pogorchis walked into Santa Fe High School with an .870 shotgun and a .38 handgun and started blasting, students scattering in hundreds of different directions. And Riley Garcia and 12 other students took off down a hallway with that shooter right on their tail. And when Riley and those 12 other kids ran past the set of double doors, Riley stopped, turned around, grabbed those double doors, and held them shut so the shooter couldn't get at those other 12 kids who kept running down the hallway. But then Dimitri Pajorka just pulled out that 12-gauge and shot through the door at close range, killing Riley instantly. But because of what he had done, that shooter didn't get to shoot those 12 other students in the classroom down the hall. Folks, that 15-year-old boy died a hero. And here's the kicker. For months earlier, Riley's parents had been remodeling their house there in Crosby. And the picture you see here is a Facebook post that shows Riley standing next to some framing that was going to be his new bedroom. And Riley had written a Bible verse on that board in what was going to be his bedroom. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. And Riley's mom, Shannon, thought that was a weird verse for a bedroom. I mean, maybe, except the Lord build a house, those who build it labor in vain, or God gives his beloved sleep, something like that. But Psalm 46:10? But then as the end of the school year kept getting closer and closer, Riley kept telling his mom he believed that God was going to use him in a big way to glorify the Lord. And not just in the future, but even before the school year was over with. And what do you know? 10 days after Riley Garcia wrote that on his bedroom wall, he was shot and killed at Santa Fe High School. The funeral, just this past May the 25th, in the Crosby Church, was huge. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Pastor preached the gospel, told everybody how the sacrifice Riley made to save his friends was a lot like what Jesus did on the cross to save us. The Lord was lifted up. The honor guard from the ROTC presented Riley's mom and stepdad with a folded flag. They played taps. This is what Riley's mom said. At first, I didn't know why Riley would write that verse in his bedroom, but God knew what was coming and gave him those words to get his heart right so he could save those other kids. And that's the word that God is giving all of us now, to be still and know that he is God and see the glory that God's getting out of this whole thing. The funeral, the testimony of who my son was and what he did to save others in the name of the Lord, that's just bringing all the more attention and glory to God. My son really did listen to God, and he did exactly what God wanted him to do. So the question is this morning, are we going to listen to God and do what he says, no matter what, so that God can be glorified in our life or even in our death, if that's what God wants? The word of the Lord was rare. In those days, there were not many visions. Sadly enough, sounds like the Church of Jesus Christ in America today. People, how we need to hear from God like yesterday. A fresh word from heaven. And it's not that God isn't willing to speak. The problem is, too many of us aren't willing to listen. But how about today? How about right now? Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? Psalm chapter 85, verse 8, I will listen to what the Lord will say to me. What is God saying to you right now? God speaks in all different kinds of ways to all different kinds of people in the way he knows we need to hear from him. What is God saying to you right now? Maybe God right now is speaking silence to you because just for a moment, he wants you to stop and remember that he is God. Maybe God's taken a Bible verse that you know and he's applying it to your life in a brand new way. What's he saying to you right now about your life, your relationship with him, a sin that you need to confess? A habit that you need to surrender. A relationship that you need to fix. Maybe God today is giving you a word of encouragement so you don't give up. So you can keep going for another day. What's God telling you to do? And listen to me. Don't you dare ask God what he wants you to do if you're not willing to do it. Here I am, Lord. I am waiting my instructions. Lord, speak to me.
for your servant is listening. Lord, I just thank you that you are a God who knows every single thing about us. You know the number of individual hairs on every individual one of our heads. And you know exactly what we need to hear. You know exactly what we need to do. Just thank you, Lord, for the way that you communicate that through so many amazing ways. Friends, circumstances, godly people in our lives. Your word, most of all, that still small voice. I pray, Lord, that we would be listening, that you just help us tune out the rest of the world, all the nonsense and worthless, meaningless stuff, and we would hear your voice above all things. All this we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.